Blackhawks goal scored by Bobo Warshawski.
Hey, what in hell do you think you're doing to my front door?
Get out of my way.
Damn you!
Deadlock by Sarah Paretsky.
No. I won't report the incident. The police will just see it as another petty burglary.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
I'm sweating. My shoulder aches. Hot bath.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
Rub ligament oil into the sore muscles. I don't have much time left before another accident overtakes me.
Episode 6. The Long Goodbye.
Hello?
Vic.
What?
It's Murray.
Murray, what time is it?
9 o'clock. Listen, I have some information about Paige Carrington.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
All right, she doesn't own her apartment. It's held for her by some kind of trust.
Oh, yeah? Who's behind the trust?
I don't know.
Can you find out?
Yeah, I can try. And there's something else.
Well?
Vic, if you'd lived 200 years ago, they'd have burned you at the stake.
Murray, it's too early for jokes.
Arroyo hiking boots, size 12. Howard Mattingly was wearing them when he died. I'm pretty sure they're a match for the footprint the police found in Boom Boom's place. We'll have the story on the front page of the early editions.
Thanks, Murray. I'll talk to you later.
The weather has finally warmed up. Under a clear blue sky, trees along the expressway put out pale green leaves toward the sun. Off the Kennedy, past tidy bungalows, park the Omega around a bend so it can't be seen from the Phillips house. Three cars parked behind a blue Oldsmobile 88. Clayton Phillips' green Alpha, a red Monte Carlo about 2 years old, and a silver Audi 5000.
Please come in. Janine's through here.
Janine Phillips sits by the window overlooking Lake Michigan. Hard to tell how she feels about her husband's death. Across the room, her feet tucked up on an armchair, sits Paige Carrington.
Hi there, Paige.
Vic!
I thought I recognized the Audi.
I'm not answering any more questions today.
Has she been bugging you too, Janine?
Well, she was out here last week asking me about my life as a corporate wife.
Oh, really? What do you want now, Vic?
I came to see Mrs. Phillips, give her my condolences for her husband's death. Although I wouldn't mind asking you, who pays your living expenses, Paige asked her place? I mean, that's got to run you, what, $800 a month without the mortgage?
If you keep bothering me, I'll tell the police.
Mrs. Phillips, I'm afraid that I talked to you last week under false pretenses. I'm not from a research firm. I'm sorry. But I have to be brutal. I'm a detective. I was trying to find out if your husband might have tried to murder me 2 weeks ago. My investigations have shown your husband had substantial sources of income beyond his salary. I'd like to talk to you about it privately, unless, of course, you want Miss Carrington to hear.
Oh, dear. He promised me no one would ever know.
Is there another room we can go to, Mrs. Phillips?
Better talk to Vic, Janine. If you don't, she'll come in and burglarize the place so she can examine your bank books. I'm going back to the city. I'll see you at the funeral tomorrow afternoon, unless you want me to come back before then.
No, that's all right, Paige.
How do you know Paige?
What do you mean, how do I know her? She's my sister.
Your sister? Of course. Did you take her to the party where she met my cousin?
What party was that?
Last Christmas.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Then tell me about the invoices, Janine.
What invoices are you talking about?
I called Saturday night, left a message with your son, Paul. What did your husband do when he got the message?
We got back late. Paul left the message by the kitchen phone. When Clayton saw it, he went into his study and shut the door. He made a phone call and left a few minutes later.
He didn't take the Alpha. Did somebody pick him up?
I don't know.
What time was it?
It was about 1:30 Sunday morning when he went out. That was the last time I saw him.
The invoices, Janine. People would give him bids on Eudora grain cargoes, and he would log the orders at one price but bill them at another. Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know how he worked it, but you knew he was doing it?
I didn't ask as long as the bills got paid.
Sure you did. And you knew $92,000 wasn't enough to pay for the boat, the house, your designer clothes, membership of the Maritime Club. I mean, that has to run you about $25,000 a year.
You don't know what it's like when all the other wives have everything they want and you're making do with last year's clothes.
You're right, I don't.
My father kept a boat. We had horses. When I was a junior in high school, he lost everything. Paige was only 8, too young to remember the humiliation. My mother sold the silver. She sold her jewelry.
When did you meet your husband?
Clayton came from Toledo. Eudora Grain brought him here when he was 25.
And you thought he had prospects. When did you find out that wasn't going to happen?
When Terry was born. And there was Paige. She was only 18, but she already knew.
Knew what?
Knew how to get people to help her out.
Okay. You didn't want Paige outdressing you, so you put pressure on your husband to come up with more money. And he knew he was never going to have enough if he just struggled along with his salary. So he decided to skim something off the top before it ever hit Eudora's books. Did he fiddle anything besides the invoices?
No. He could make about $100,000 extra a year from the invoices. He paid taxes on it.
Taxes?
Yes. He called it commission income.
And then my cousin found out. He was going through the papers, trying to see how a regional manager runs the office, and he ended up comparing some invoices with the original contracts.
It was terrible. He threatened to tell. It would have meant the end of Clayton's career.
Oh, spare me, Janine. It was a choice between the Maritime Club and my cousin's life? You decided my cousin had to die to keep you in couture dresses? Is that what happened? Is it? Answer me, goddamn
you! Leave me alone! Just leave me alone!
Yeah, you're right. Getting angry at you won't bring my cousin back to life. One more question, okay? What was Paige's role in this?
Paige was supposed to keep track of what Boom Boom was up to. You better talk to her. And she hasn't given away my secrets, I won't give away hers.
Oh, that's right. You girls should be loyal to each other. God, you make me sick. My arms feel so heavy I can hardly lift them to the steering wheel. It would be nice to follow Bobby's advice and go someplace warm for a few weeks. Instead, I drive up the road to the Grey Falk residence. Mrs. Grey Falk? V.I. Warshawski. I'm a detective. I'd like to talk to you about Clayton Phillips.
Tragic business. I'm afraid I don't have much time.
Well, it won't take long. I wanted to ask you about Clayton and Janine Phillips.
There is not a lot I can tell you. Clayton was, I should say, a business associate of my husband's. For reasons I've never understood, Niels insisted we've sponsored them at the Maritime Club. I tried to interest Janine in some of the work that I do, particularly with the poor immigrant community here. I'm afraid it's hard to get her to think of anything but her clothes.
Well, Mr. Greyfolk implied to me that Janine was a protege of yours, and you wanted to get her into the Maritime Club.
Why did Niels say that, I wonder? Clayton obliged him on some business deals, and Niels sponsored him in the club to show his appreciation. I'm perfectly sure that was the way it happened. I'm sorry Clayton's dead, but he was an insufferable social climber, and Janine is no better. Now, please excuse me.
What if Phillips split the money with Greyfolk? No, that doesn't make sense. Greyfolk is the biggest carrier on the lakes. He doesn't need pennies like that. Well, what if... Suddenly I see the whole thing. Shut up! The insurance man. That's it. Mr. Ferrant, can I come in?
Miss Warshawski, this is an unexpected pleasure.
I wanted to ask you something.
Well, yes, of course. Sit down. How can I help you?
Well, you're supposed to be the world's greatest expert on the Great Lakes shipping. Now, I want to know what's happened to it with the lock on Lake Superior out of action. Do the ships still get through?
Well, shipping hasn't come to a complete standstill.
But the big ships won't be able to trade on that route. I mean, how serious is it?
60% of the grain in North America is exported through those ports. So there is some financial impact.
And the smaller ships will have the advantage. I mean, the worst affected would be the companies who converted to 1,000-foot ships?
Yes. Outfits like Eudora Grain are scrambling to get all their cargoes onto the smaller fleets. Greyfolks is picking up a number of extra orders.
So how profitable is Greyfolks?
He's the biggest carrier on the lake.
Yeah, I keep being told that, but does he make money? See, I understand the smaller ships are unprofitable, and they make up his whole fleet.
Well, I don't know how much freight he carries. Why do you want to know?
A $50 million ship has been blown up. The North American shipping industry has been thrown into disarray. Grey Fox stands to gain a lot by this accident. I want to know what shape his business is in. If it's already doing well, he has less of a motive.
Yes, it's an interesting thought. I could look through the records, but there's an awful lot of stuff.
I'm game.
All right, then. Right. The Grey Fox file. Workers' compensation policies, cargo coverage. Ah, these cargo policies will tell us the value of the freight he carries.
If he's not carrying much, how will that tell us anything besides the fact that the industry's depressed?
Good point. We know what it costs a day to own one of those old ships. If it's not carrying cargo, there are still overheads. It has to be docked somewhere, unless the ship is in mothballs, which also costs something. You have to have a skeleton crew aboard. You need to be able to move in a hurry to wherever there is a cargo waiting. We can hazard a good guess at his running costs.
Sounds good.
Right. Grey Fox ships cost about $2,000 a day to operate when they're not sailing, and $10,000 a day when they are. Now, his annual costs come to about... Here we are, $120 million a year. The total value of the cargoes he carried 3 years ago was $100 million. Things are a little better the next 2 years, but not much.
So he's definitely losing money.
Odd how much cargo he's been carrying for Eudora Grain for the last 5 years. Almost 20% of his total volume.
Well, where does Grey Fox get the money to cover his losses?
He also owns a railway. He can ship by rail to ocean-going vessels in Baltimore. That does very well. And his family owns a big block of stock in Hanson Electronics, the computer firm. I think his wife has money. Well, that's it. That's as much as we can find out.
I am really grateful. Come on, Fran. I'll buy you a drink.
Good. I need it.
The Golden Glow. A place for serious drinkers, no quiche and celery stalks.
How the Vic has tricks.
Looking up, Sal, getting better. A Johnny Walker Black, a Mr. Ferrant.
A gin and martini, please. Call me Roger, please.
All right. Sal, can I use the phone?
Sure, honey, go ahead.
Well, you don't mind if I make a phone call?
Certainly not, no. Excuse me.
It's over there.
Oh, okay.
Marie, VI, any news?
Yeah, hi, Vic. The trust which provides Paige with her apartment is owned by Niels Greyfolk.
Oh, thank you, Murray. I owe you a drink.
And a lot more.
Bye, Murray. Hey, Sal.
Yeah?
Look, I gotta go see somebody. Would you apologize to my friend? Just, say it was an emergency.
Anything you say, Vic.
A massive pale pink building with white enamel shutters. Black wrought iron street lamps light up the front.
Who's that?
It's Janine.
Come on up, Janine. Hey! Good God, what are you doing here?
We're gonna talk, Paige, a little heart to heart.
I have nothing to say to you. Get out.
Oh, wow. Beautiful room. Persian rug, dark parquet.
Get out of here before I call the police.
Gold brocade drapes. The police will be very interested in your role in Boom Boom's death. Please, do call them.
The police think it's an accident.
But you, dear Paige, do you think it is? Now, Janine told me this morning your job was to keep tabs on my cousin. I thought she meant for her and Clayton, but she wasn't talking about them, was she? You were keeping track of him for Grey Fox.
I have nothing to say.
Is that a digger? Oh, it's a very good copy. No, perhaps it's an original. How long have you been Grey Fox's mistress?
You are offensive.
Well, correct me if I go wrong. Niels knew Clayton Phillips was fiddling the Eudora Grain invoices, and he promised not to turn Phillips in if Clayton would start giving Grey Fox more business.
I don't know anything about the Grey Fox steamship line.
Oh, you and your sister are so pure-minded, Paige. You don't want to know where the money comes from, just so long as it's there when you want it.
I scarcely know Niels Grey Fox.
Ah, bullshit. Grey Fox owns this apartment.
How did you know that? Did Janine tell you?
No, Paige. Your sister kept your secret. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. Grey Fox got Clayton to give him preferred customer treatment. In exchange, Grey Fox helped pave the way for them socially. Got the Phillips into the Maritime Club, where Niels saw you, and thought you were just about the most beautiful little thing he'd ever laid eyes on, right so far?
You have absolutely no understanding of my life.
What I want to know is, where my cousin fitted into this. Now, you told me a few weeks ago you thought you two were in love.
You think my cousin was a better prospect in the long run because he wasn't married?
Stop it, Vic. Do you think I have no feeling at all? Do you know what I went through when I heard Boom Boom was dead? I had no choice.
Of course you had a choice.
It seemed like such a little thing to go out with your cousin a few times and see if he knew anything about the invoices.
You never thought of Boom Boom as a person with feelings, did you?
I liked Boom Boom.
Tell me about the sailing trip. Howard Mattingly was there, right? And Clayton Phillips? Niels, of course. But what was the purpose? Why did you drag Boom Boom out for that?
Mattingly wasn't there, Vic. When I told Niels that Boom Boom had gotten close to the truth on the invoices, he wanted Clayton to get rid of him on the spot. But I told him not to. Niels tried to persuade Boom Boom to see things their way. On Saturday, it looked as though he might. But the next Monday, he had a terrible argument with Clayton. Then, when he slipped and fell into the water, that was the end of it.
Now, you tried to bribe Boom Boom, and he didn't live that way. You vermin just don't understand that. Were you with Niels Sunday morning, when he put that hole in the side of Clayton's head?
I don't think you should talk to me like that, Vic. You may not approve of my relations with Niels, but he is my lover.
Me not approve? Christ, Paige, you are living in a whole separate universe. Why should I give a damn about you and Greyfalk? It's what the two of you did to my cousin I care about, and that's what makes your relationship stink.
Well, I don't agree with you.
One last question, Paige, darling. Was it the photocopies of Greyfalk's invoices you were looking for in Boom Boom's apartment the day after the funeral? Because if it was, I found them.
That's enough.
You're right. That's enough. Goodbye, Paige.
A satisfactory encounter?
Roger, you followed me?
I'm not used to being walked out on. I got a taxi and followed you, yes. Did you get what you wanted?
I suppose so.
Look, let's have some dinner and you can tell me about it.
Roger, I am too tired to eat and I don't feel like telling anybody about
it. All right, don't tell me anything, but you'll feel better after something to eat and I'm still famished.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking.
We'll go to the Filigree. It's the closest thing I've found to an English club and the T-bone steak is marvellous.
Dessert, sir, madam?
I'll have a chocolate cheesecake, please.
You skinny men.
Madam?
Another bottle of wine.
Well, don't you think...
You want the rest of the story?
Well...
More wine.
I give in. Another bottle, please.
Certainly, sir.
Now, although Janine Phillips, as good as Toby, that her husband pushed Boom Boom off the wharf, I don't have any proof. Nobody witnessed the drowning. I have some... skeletal proof about what was going on at your door, Grain, but all that does is discredit Phillips. And the one thing I might be able to get Greyfalk on is murdering Phillips.
Greyfalk murdered Phillips?
Well, Phillips was last seen alive around 1 o'clock Sunday morning. The police figure he was in the holds and suffocated by 8 a.m. at the latest. So between 1 and 8 in the morning, somebody hit him on the head and got him onto a Great Lakes freighter.
Was Greyfalk at the port that night?
He didn't drive down there.
What did he do? Fly?
I don't think so. A helicopter would be pretty noisy.
Well, how did he get there?
Good heavens, well, I am ashamed of you. You have come from an island famous for 4 centuries of naval prowess. It ought to be the first thing that leaps into your mind.
By boat? I suppose he could, but can you prove it?
Well, I don't know. See, if I only had somebody who saw Greyfalk and Phillips on Sunday morning, or... bloodstains on the fourth deck of Great Falk's yacht. I need proof. That's it.
What? Now what?
I'm going out to Great Falk's boat. I'm going to get proof.
Now, sit down. It's too late. You're tired. You're drunk.
Well, you're right. I'm tired. I am tired.
Oh, dear. Waitress.
Is the lady all right, sir?
She's fine. Just overdoing it. I'll take her home. May I have the bill? Forget the cheesecake.
Oh, my head. What the... How did I get home? Oh, God. I remember. What's this? Sleep well. Phone me when you're rested. All the best, Roger Ferrant. So correct. Oh, now then. Okay, aspirin, hot bath. And then, of course, Greyfalk's yacht. Tonight when it's dark. 2 masts, sails furled neatly, a beautiful vessel. White with green trim, sleek. Floating easily against the ropes that fasten it to the jetty. Looks like no one's here. Good. Walk out on the little jetty. Pull on one of the guide ropes. The boat floats toward me. Grab the wooden railing and jump myself onto the deck. Teak, varnished and polished. Right, on your knees, Vic. Flashlight. Magnifying glass. Nothing remotely like blood on the highly polished surface. Small flight of stairs next to the tiller leads to the cabin. Locked. Pick locks. Hallway. Lounge. Thick green carpet. Faintly damp. Smells like turpentine. What the? Oh my god. Oh, we're moving. A small white marker flashes green. We're out of the channel into the open lake.
I hope you're not going to play hide and seek with me, Miss Warshawski. I know this boat much better than you do. Sandy, watch the door.
Shit. Good evening, Mr. Greyfalk.
Do sit down. I think we'll have some light. That's better.
How did you know I was here?
You're a very smart young lady. But you do have your weaknesses. I saw your car on the jetty.
Damn.
Never mind. I must congratulate you. You have very good survival instincts. By now you should be dead several times over. However, I fear your clients will soon be deprived of your services for good, Miss Warshawski. By the way, who are you working for?
I'm working for my cousin.
How quixotic of you. Avenging the memory of the dead Boom Boom Warshawski, ice hockey hero. Paige says you don't believe he fell under the Bertha Krupnik by accident.
Oh, my parents discouraged a faith in Santa Claus at an early age.
Don't blame Paige, my dear Vic. She's a very special person, but she has these strong childlike needs for material possessions.
Heartrending.
Poverty is all relative.
How does Mrs. Greyfalk feel about the situation?
Claire is an admirable woman. Now that our two children are through school, she's thoroughly absorbed in a variety of charities, all of which benefit greatly from Greyfalk backing. They claim the bulk of her attention. And she's just as pleased to have mine diverted elsewhere. Brandy?
No.
I will if you don't mind.
And Paige is fascinated by shipping? That's a little hard to imagine.
I don't mind knowing I've bought Paige's fascination. It's quite intense and delightful, whether bought or volunteered. I'm afraid the steamship line is the thing I really care about.
So much so. You got somebody to push my cousin off the wharf. Killed Phillips and Mattingly and blew up the Lucilla. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Henry Kelvin, the night watchman in Boom Boom's building.
Sandy did most of the damage. My chauffeur. He planted the depth charges on the Lucilla. Quite a diver. He was a frogman in the Navy. Served on my ship in World War II.
But you're an accessory. The law will hold you equally responsible.
The law is extremely uninterested in me.
When they have evidence that Phillips was attacked here, in this lounge, their interest will pick up considerably.
Now, who is going to tell them that?
Phillips called you Saturday night after he got my message, didn't he?
I'm afraid Clayton was cracking. He was a smart enough man in his way, but he worried about details too much. He knew if you told about the invoices, his career would be finished. He wanted me to help him. Unfortunately, there wasn't much I could do at that point.
But why kill him? I mean, you own the controlling interest in Greyfalk's steamship. Your board can't force you to resign.
Oh, I agree. Unfortunately, even though we hadn't involved Clayton in the mishap to the Lucilla, he knew my feelings toward Martin Bledsoe. He suspected I was responsible and threatened to tell.
So you smashed a hole in the side of his head. Putting him on the Gertrude Rattan was a macabre touch.
It seemed poetic to use one of Martin's ships. How did you figure it out?
Wasn't difficult. Whoever put the body in the hold had to get to the ship without going by the police. Had to come by boat.
We won't run those risks with you, Vic. We'll leave you a couple of miles offshore with a good, strong weight to hold you down.
Tell me, how long has Greyfalk's steamship been losing money?
Who told you that?
You didn't have to tell me Greyfalk's steamship was the only thing you really cared about. It was obvious the first day I met you. Your fury with Bledsoe for deserting him was totally irrational.
How dare you?
You're operating an antiquated fleet. Martin hasn't been able to persuade you to build new, longer ships, and you were stuck with the old, unprofitable ones.
God damn Martin Bledsoe to hell. I saved him from prison, gave him his life back. How did he thank me? By building that damn Lucilla Vicer and flaunting her under my nose.
Well, why didn't you just build your own?
I couldn't afford to. Then I found Phillips and his pathetic wife. I saw a way at least to get some orders. Until your damn cousin started nosing around. I knew if he got onto the truth, we were all in trouble. So I slipped Paige onto him.
What made you blow up the Lucilla?
At first, I thought about blowing up my whole fleet and collecting the insurance. Then I had a better idea. Get rid of the Lucilla and close the upper lakes to the big ships at the same time. I can carry a lot of freight this summer. I should be out of the woods by next spring, and Martin will be wiped out by then.
I see.
Paige told me you had those invoices Boom Boom threatened Clayton with. Sandy went over to your apartment early this morning. Had to tear the place up a bit, but he found them. Now, Vic, come on deck with me.
You want to show me the view?
Don't make it difficult for yourself. We'll kill you before you go overboard. No unpleasant drowning. Please, after you.
Thank you. Slide the knife from my pocket.
Come along, Vic.
Let him follow until he's behind the table and my back's to the door. Turn. Slash through my shirt sleeve, cut my arm. Blood rolls down onto my hand. Run behind the table and wipe my bleeding arm on the drapes.
What the hell are you doing?
Leaving a trail.
You're mad.
Slide a chair into his path and back into the galley. Gas stove. Turn on a burner. Blue flame. Rip curtain. Throw it across the burner.
You're crazy. We'll burn to death.
Whirl it around in front of me like a torch.
You're nuts. You call that crazy? I'll get you.
Keep away. I got a knife.
You bitch.
Deep breath. Overboard. Black. Gold. Tread water. Relax. 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 Get off my running shoes. Swim. Stupid. Grey Folk's boat is burning. Good. Searchlight. Grey Folk picks me out. Shit. The boat comes swinging toward me. Come on, Nails. Swim, may I swim? A stone terrace overlooking Lake Michigan.
Champagne.
The water, pale blue under a soft summer sky, laps gently at the sand below.
I don't drink myself.
Silver ice bucket.
But I enjoy serving champagne.
It's delicious. Thanks, Mrs. Greyfall.
Well, my dear, that was quite a story.
I'm sorry it had to be that way.
I had to know everything before talking to my lawyers. No need to be sorry.
Well, Niels and his chauffeur are both dead, so there's no one left to prosecute. Legal action against your husband's estate would bring no pleasure to me. And it won't bring my cousin back to life.
No, it won't. You know, Niels left Paige Carrington an apartment on Astor Place.
I know.
That hurts.
Do you mind very much?
Miss Warshawski, Niels and I had drifted apart. He became more and more obsessed by his work. Once it was very different. But that's all gone now. What do you say? Shall we have some more champagne and enjoy the sunset?
I think we both deserve it, Mrs. Greyfolk.
In episode 6 of Deadlock, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski, with Bill Nighy as Roger Ferrant and Peter Marinker as Niels Greyfolk. Carrie Shale played Murray, Shelley Thompson, Janine Phillips, Teresa Gallagher, Paige Carrington, Sandra James Young, Sal, and Alib Parsons, Mrs. Greyfolk. Deadlock was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.